We're recording.
Oh, that's a good check.
Check. Three. All right.
You should push the button.
Oh, I guess I should.
For anyone still out there, this is the Dystopic Radio Network.
I can't really remember when I last had any hope.
Somewhere.
I came into this game for the action, the excitement.
On the abandoned highways of tomorrow.
You're either living or you're not.
I want everyone to remember.
Keep your radio on. Listen for a broadcast.
Their names are the Dystopic Boys.
This month on the Dystopic Boys.
It was all over. I was the only one alive. In all New York, the only one alive.
Beyond pain and death lies the ultimate revelation. The final choice. The end.
Everything in the world is there for us. Everything for the taking.
We have begun third impact.
Couldn't we go back now?
You little fool. I got you away. You don't think I'm going to take you back?
Evangelion 5.
Do you wake from your finest fantasy only to return to your daily nightmare?
Mr. Wall!
Yes?
Yeah! Hey, everybody, welcome back. We are the Dystopic Boys.
I deleted that for
I know, you did
you
delete it.
Can't read it.
You gotta make
it.
We are the Dystopic Boys. My name is Wendell. I'm here, as always, with my fellow survivor, Niles.
Oh, damn.
Dang, you
kind of nailed it.
I almost forgot the word I was gonna say.
I deleted it just in hopes that you'd say something different this time.
How's it going, Niles?
Welcome back to the Dystopic Boys, episode 9.
Episode 9, the month of May, being recorded on June 1st.
Entitled Evangelion 5.
As 5.
I couldn't find a clip of somebody saying 5 because I couldn't get a hold of the Mark clips. So I made my iPhone say 5.
So what's been going on?
I'm on a new job.
Yeah?
A little different pace.
Yeah, and is it awesome?
I'm driving a certain cast person for a certain film.
I hear it's awesome.
That's all I'm saying.
I hear it's awesome.
It's pretty surreal. It's pretty surreal. But anyway, that's all I can say about that.
Roger.
How's your busy life?
Busy. Just flying. That's pretty much flying, fixing hard drives in the computer as of about what did I finish up that about 30 minutes ago?
Yeah, so not only are we extremely late at doing this podcast, but Wendell just like revamped his computer just before we did this, and we're basically putting this all together at the last minute.
Intending to revamp my computer.
Well, no,
I had 5 hard drives in it, 2 of which were 8 years old, and they were starting to die.
We
so
weren't
I had
expecting
to, put a new
to
one in.
Do this. What is it? Saturday night now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway,
so we're back. Hey,
we are,
and it's gonna be a crapshoot today.
Literally. Because these movies were terrible.
There's a couple of...
All right.
Yeah, anyway, whatever.
Okay.
But let's go on.
Without further ado, it's time for...
Let's have a drink.
Yes.
Let's have a drink indeed.
Let's do. Let's open this.
All right. So while Niles is opening our beer, we are drinking the same thing tonight. This is the Elysian... Oh, don't open that over the... Oh, goodness, this is not going to end well as he opens it over the computer.
I was good.
All right.
Nailed it.
Now I have to pour. All right, this is the Elysian Super Fuzz, which has a picture of someone or a drawing of someone with a very large afro on the front of it. Is that supposed to be...
No.
Do you know who I'm thinking of?
No.
Who isn't? Okay.
This.
Jamie's probably not listening to this, so... What's the name of the guy that's around
What
here?
If? What if the world were an orange, a blood orange? With hop cones orbiting around it, and it's all like an atom. All brewed with blood orange.
So, yeah, okay. So, it's Elysian Super Fuzz Blood Orange Pale.
Super Fuzz.
Yeah, it looks... Smells very orangey. All right, here we go. Ooh, it smells like an orange. I just sniffed the microphone instead of the beer. That was a little weird. Ooh, that's really good.
Well, this reminds me of the... Remember the Elysian... one of the beers of the apocalypse? Which one was it?
It was Elysian... Maelstrom Blood Orange.
Maelstrom.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I wish... I need to get a hold of
it. I know. We still need to find the rest of those.
Backstock, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him. Anyway, that's good.
All right. Yeah, that is very good. One more sip. Delicious. All right. So, since it's been a little while, let's go ahead and...
We interrupt this program to bring up this broadcast to bring you this important...
Science fiction garbage.
Oh, crud. It's the last frequency. Hey, guys. Welcome back.
It's the mini-me episode.
It's the mini-me episode of the last frequency. And I guess technically, well, do we count this as a separate episode?
No.
Okay.
No. This does not get counted in the numbering.
This isn't counted. Okay. Anyway, so I just found out today.
Although, if you want to get really technical, I should probably break these out.
Oh, geez.
And add them into the last frequency
feed. Could.
Also.
You could edit them out.
Yeah, just clipping out this part and putting in like a small last frequency episode into the last frequency feed.
That's an interesting idea, Wendell. That sounds like more work for...
That sounds like more work for me. That's what that sounds like.
In recent news, I'm on Blood Orange still. Blade Runner 2 is continuing in the works. They have a screenwriter. And Ridley Scott has been talking about Blade Runner 2 for... a while, obviously, probably from since Prometheus kind of came about, he's probably on his sci-fi horse and wants to ride.
Well, where are you going with this?
Ride his sci-fi horse for longer. So they hired Michael Green to write the script, and he did the Green Lantern movie, it's the only one.
Ryan Reynolds, yes. Yeah. I actually kind of liked it. I thought it was not
so
terrible.
In some people's minds, that might be a little worrisome. But anyway, it says, according to the Wrap website, it will be set some years after the conclusion. So whether or not they want to get Harrison Ford to reprise his role is still up in the air.
I can see a cameo of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, well, if it's going to be a cameo, then however they work out the main character, I don't know. But anyway, and if you go back in time to the original 1982 film, I mean, originally it was not received very well at all, and producers and stuff were bashing it before it even came out in the theaters. So it's good to see that they're trying to do a number two, hopefully. So we'll see how the script turns out.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited. I mean, you know, it could be one of these things where... I mean, Ridley Scott is on the bill to direct again, so I mean, it can't go wrong there. But I'm sure he's going to be along for the ride for the whole script writing. So we'll see how that works out there. That could be really cool. Anyway, let's move on. New clips have emerged for World War Z, which comes out
June 21st. Oh goodness, that was not supposed
but
to
here it comes.
Play yet. Okay, so there's a clip here that from Geek Tyrant, and the author of this post says the movie comes out on June 21st and I hope it's as good as I've been hearing it is. That's not what I've been hearing. That this movie's pretty bad. I don't know.
On who you're hearing it from, right?
Well, and I suppose it also depends on if you're basing it off of being at all true to the book,
which
it's not looking likely.
Yeah, let's take a zombie book and turn it into a zombie film. Oh, that's it. Done.
Yeah, but it's not just a zombie book.
Well, I know. But...
Dang it. All right. So anyway, here, this is about 45-second clip.
Play it.
We're just going to play it.
Roll sound.
Mr. Undersecretary.
Your secretary here says you were his best investigator when you were at the UN.
Yeah.
We'll send you in with the team. Help Dr. Fossbach find whatever it is he needs.
Right, I want it for the circumstances to speak for themselves.
Can't help you. Can't leave my family.
Take a look around here, Mr. Lane. Each and every one of these people are here because they serve a purpose. There's no room here for non-essential personnel. You want to help your family? Let's figure out how we stop this. It's your choice, Mr. Lane.
Thank you, Inception soundtrack.
Stop that!
Oh, right, there you go. It's only on Yahoo Movies, so, apparently.
So, World War Z definitely sounds like it's going to take on this sort of family story role.
Well, it's a family story that's, where he's like, yeah, like action.
Where he's actually got his family, you know, he's running around with him, basically. So, that could be kind of cool. But
so, again, just this story right here. Based on Max Brooks' best-selling novel, World War Z, and an oral history of the zombie war, the story revolves around United Nations employee Gary Lane, Brad Pitt, who traverses the world in a race against time to stop the zombie pandemic that is toppling armies and governments and threatening to decimate humanity itself. Now, that is absolutely nothing.
Well, I take it that main character is not at all in the book.
Okay.
Or is that guy in the book?
I don't even remember that name from the book. But again, the thing with the book is that it's not set from one character's perspective.
No, it's different
in the
interview.
War. It's all these different interviews. And I it's been a long time since I've read the book. I need to read it again. Actually, maybe, yeah, we'll get to that later.
maybe you can talk about it in your non-existent.
Yeah, hey, shush, no spoilers.
Anyway, let's move on to the next clip. Another one has emerged for the film called This Is the End by the Judd Apatow group.
We decided this is going to be our...
But it's not Judd Apatow. Yeah, the question is, do we watch this one or After Earth?
Well, so we were kind of talking about this before we started the show. And
I think we should watch this one.
Yeah, I agree, because After Earth, you know, it's similar in the same vein, and it's along the same lines as like Oblivion or, you know, a lot of these like post-apocalyptic type of action-adventure mystery type stories, whereas this is a comedy, right? I mean, this is a comedy with a bunch of actors playing themselves.
Yeah, which...
It's kind of like the...
End of the world, alien attacks kind of thing.
To me... Covering this movie is kind of the same thing as I want to cover at some point the movie about the zombie that comes back to life, Emotions.
Yeah.
Zombie Eye, Zombie Me, Zombie Feel Good,
Zombie Me,
Feel Zombie.
Warm Bodies.
Warm Body, yeah, that, I knew it was something.
You were close.
I was not close. So yeah, like Warm Bodies, right? That tells the story of a zombie. From a completely different perspective, the perspective of the zombie.
Yeah,
this is kind of a weird take on an apocalyptic future thing, and I think it's going to be good.
Well, it's not even post. It's apocalypse, right? It's an apocalypse.
Yeah, it's like during the apocalypse. Yeah.
With a cool comedy.
Okay, shall we
roll sound? Oh,
wait for it.
Preview.
No.
Seems like just yesterday we were all at the party. And I was singing, Take Your Panties Off.
Take your panties off. Take your panties off.
Take your panties off.
Take your panties off.
Come on, Rihanna, take your panties off of me.
Come on, Craig, can you fuck off of me?
That's the last thing they heard before they all died.
Don't go on the grass! Let everybody on the grass!
What the fuck?
I could have done it. All I had to do was reach out.
Craig, help me!
It's too late for you. You're already in the hole.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I did everything I could. Disease, come back.
This is the end.
Oh, stop haunting me!
Rated R in theaters June 12th.
That guy has a really deep voice.
In theaters June 12th.
So I had no idea what was going to be in that clip.
The only problem is we're going to watch this film and we're not going to be able to pull any audio clips from it.
Because it's all going to be rated R.
Well, yeah. By the way, are we going to bleep anything out?
No.
Okay.
No, I'll... let's just say...
Because we already reached explicit... Well, or did we?
No. I was going to say
what's
about the audio clips
podcasts?
Is we'll...
What's the rule?
We'll find a way to grab clips from that movie.
Oh.
I'll leave it at that.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I think.
Anyway, I think that's going to be our next film. How about that? Should we just vote on that?
Sure, let's vote.
Raise your hands.
I said no? It'd be like 50-50. Sure, I agree. I'm raising my hand.
Should we flip a bottle cap?
No. Okay. Okay. So we are watching whatever we just said.
This is the end. This we'll be the on end. The next episode 10 of the Dystopic Boys. Thank you.
Roger.
And right. Moving on.
This has nothing to do with anything, but Matt Smith's leaving Doctor Who. That's sad. Has nothing to do with Apocalyptic.
And you're getting into Defiance, aren't you?
Yes. So I kind of forgot we were going to talk about that.
I don't know if we were or not, but I just brought it up.
So. Yeah, no, that's a good point. So I'm completely caught up on Defiance. I'm kind of watching it each week as it comes out now. And yeah, now I'm really loving it, actually.
I mean, does it fit the realm of what we're...
Yes, absolutely. I'm still kind of confused as to
it takes place on Earth, right?
Yes, it takes place on Earth, like 60 years after a big war with aliens. But now, for some reason, these aliens that invaded Earth, there are like nine races time, of them, and now they're friends with people. I don't know. But anyway, the main characters in the story, I've finally seen them around enough and seen them in enough episodes to get to where I feel for them and I can, you know, relate to them at least a little bit. So, you know, I think now when these big action sequences happen, I can get more involved with it. I wish they would have saved that one giant... the entire town's going to get destroyed if they don't do something. I wish they would not have done that in episode one. I wish they would have saved that for episode four or five or something.
Yeah. Once you get more involved in the characters, right?
Exactly. Then it's easier to get involved in the story and everything. But it's really good. I'm enjoying the soundtrack. I am interested. I wish there was a demo or something out for the game. I would like to still play the game. Maybe I'll this week go on and try watching some gameplay footage. Like some cutscenes, that type of
Defiance
thing. Yeah, just to kind of see what that is about and what it kind of is covering.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good stuff.
Sweet. And speaking of games.
Oh, I'm so irritated. This is not
The Last of Us demo just came out. I guess that was yesterday.
And you already beat it.
Well, it's actually a pretty short demo. I thought it was going to be longer than that because there's some gameplay footage online right now that made it seem like that was the demo stuff that we're going to get, but I think that's just stuff that played at like E3 and all those conventions. So anyway, I played it and oh my gosh. One thing is it really just brings about this sort of terror and you're really involved in the feel of what's going on. Like the soundscape of the game and the look of the game and you're going into these buildings and then it's just, my heart was pounding the whole time.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for me. This is going to be a daytime at noon with like a TV on next to the computer or next to the PS3.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be play it during a party when there are 35 people over.
Yeah.
So I can't get scared.
The cool part was it's going off of the previous games that Naughty Dog has done, like Uncharted. So I was familiar with all the buttons. Some of them I had to learn, but so I could kind of get into the actual game faster than say if I didn't know all the buttons. And I loved being able to collect items and be able to, you know, make shivs and all this kind of. It was really kind of cool, but. The whole feel of the game is just, I think, is what's going to set this thing apart. And just the environment and the enemies and how scary the enemies are. I mean, it's you really get this sense of this threat. And it's going to be awesome. And it comes out, I think it's June 17th, I believe, is the official release date. And I will correct myself in a moment if I figure it
out. So, unfortunately, I don't think this is ever going to come out on PC or any other console because Naughty Dog, like you said, Uncharted, those are all PS3 exclusives. Yeah, so I think they're pretty much a PlayStation only. So, I might have to be coming over to your place.
Coming over.
And hanging out for a little while to at least maybe... You know what I'll do? I'll watch you play this game. How about we do that?
Yeah, you can come over and you can watch... Better. Yeah, you can come over and you can watch me play.
Fantastic.
We grab some beers and it just gets...
It is settled.
...scarier and creepier towards the end of it. Anyway, Last of Us demo came out. If you have a PS3, try it. Or you can watch other people try it. Because there's plenty of videos out there too, so... Anyway, let's move on. That was the last Frequency segment. Let's move on to our first film of our two.
All right. Let's
let's go on to...
Roll it.
Let me pull... Yeah, do it.
5. 5 people are miraculously spared when the fallout from a superatomic bomb eventually kills all the rest of humanity on Earth. They are Roseanne Rogers, a pregnant woman who was in an X-ray room. Michael, a sensitive young poet and philosopher. Eric, a black man. Mr. Barnstaple, a banker. And Charles, a cosmopolitan alpinist who was saved from the radioactive dust because he was climbing Mount Everest at the time of the explosion and fallout. Eventually, they all wind up in a Frank Lloyd Wright-designed house on a California mountaintop. Soon, all that are left are the poet and the already pregnant Roseanne. Facing the sunset is the new Adam and Eve.
5. Made in 1951. Directed by Arch Obler. Produced by Arch Obler. Screenplay by Arch Obler.
Are we sensing a theme here?
Story by Arch Obler. Starring William Phipps, Susan Douglas Reeves.
I was waiting for you to say Arch Obler.
James Anderson, Charles Lampkin, and Earl Lee. Playing, well, like Mark said, the black guy.
He said it, not us.
I believe, wait, Earl Lee. Yeah, I think he's a black guy. I can't remember now. And music by Henry Russell, which is probably what you're hearing right now. I sure hope that's his music.
Sure, why not?
So anyway, we have this story of 5 survivors, and they've come to believe that maybe they are the lucky few. In fact, the lucky last 5 people on Earth. So they basically go... Roseanne trudges from place to place, and she ends up in this house upon the mountains of California.
Well, it's the house where her family used to vacation or something.
Yes, it is the house of her aunts.
Yes.
Her aunt's isolated hillside house, where she finds Michael,
which,
already living
that
there.
House is fashioned after a, or is a Frank Lloyd Wright
yes,
designed house.
This
the,
is.
The whole Falling Waters guy.
Yeah, which you see in the film, there's that waterfall coming off the house. So anyway, 1951, they had to show that house. So anyway, she finds Michael in this house, and then a whole other group of survivors start coming in. Earl Lee ends up showing up, our resident black guy.
No.
No, wait.
No, Earl Lee is the bank clerk.
Oh, he is the bank clerk. Charles
is,
Charles
of
is
course.
Our
horse.
Charles,
of course,
oh my
his
gosh.
Name is Charles. Are you kidding me? Thank you, 1951, for your incredibly rampant stereotyping and
well,
not so subtle racism.
When we had Mark reading the little storyline for this film, we're like, oh my gosh!
It literally really goes, Charles, a black man.
We really have to. Well, we're just gonna really read this because it's just gonna show how dated this film
exactly.
So anyway, they. And then, while they're at the beach, Michael and Roseanne, they find Eric, a mountain climber, who ends up flying back to America, and his plane crashes, and they find him in the water. And then the old man dies, and then, we go from there. Basically, we end up with our last two, Roseanne and, spoiler alert, Roseanne and Michael at the end.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that a movie that is
in the image,
62 years old, the statute of limitations is up.
So there's definitely a lot of religion in this film based on, like, Charles gives sort of the, which I can play in a second, the creation story. And then we have this child that is born. And then we have these two characters at the end that are basically these last two on Earth, basically the first two to start the world over again, kind of the Adam and Eve statement. Five. It was, you know what? The funny thing is, I was reading up on the director Arch Obler, and he's a big playwright, and he's a big, he does a lot of plays and he does a lot of theater. So you definitely get that sense when watching this film because it's a very character driven story. There's not a lot of
a movie where you have 5 people. You kind of have to have it be that character-driven, you know.
It's definitely in the lines of The Walking Dead, right? Where you have these survivor stories. You have these people that are living together and trying to figure out how they're going to live their next day kind of thing. So it's definitely more of a character-driven story.
Well, and I think that it's character-driven in the sense, to me, the thing that kept sticking out to me was the stereotypes in this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had the nice elderly bank clerk. You had the kind of hoity-toity, high society, Mount Everest climbing pilot
that's from another country. So
that's from France or somewhere.
He's all about adventure.
Who proceeds to at one point in the film? I'm going to call this one a film because it's definitely not a movie. who proceeds to tell Charles that he has a problem with him because how dare he sleep under the same roof as the lady and her baby and all of this? Yeah, so there's a lot of stereotyping that goes on in this movie, which was fairly par for the course back in the 50s, especially.
And Roseanne, Roseanne being pregnant and not really doing much besides being pregnant and working in the garden, basically. I mean, she didn't do much.
She didn't do much. There's a lot of...
Granted, she was pregnant, so I mean...
There's a lot of backstabbing in this movie.
Yeah, there's...
Both in the literal sense and in the...
And it's kind of like, these last four men with... I was watching the trailer and four men and one woman fighting to survive.
So
it was, I liked that sort of character aspect. I mean, granted, it is very dated. I liked where they were at. I liked the fact that they're on this house on top of the
It was
mountain.
A good setting. Yeah, it kind of liked more of an out of the way. Now, one of the problems I have with the setting, though, not where they were at, but with the setup for why they're the only ones left. At the beginning, you get all of these very cliched nuclear explosions.
Oh, I have that.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is Michael sort of explaining the what happened.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Now that's where I was when it all began. I ran for the elevators. Something hit me. I woke up. It was all over. I was the only one alive. In all New York, the only one alive. I began to run. It was a nightmare. The whole United States, wherever there'd been people, an infernal radioactive dust had choked and had killed and it...
I think that's the end of it.
Oh.
He just keeps breathing.
Yeah, I thought there was something else after that. Okay, so nuclear war hits. I think we're kind of left to assume that this maybe is an aftermath of like a World War II scenario.
It was the late
40s.
It was done the time period of the Russian, the missile crisis. Right? Is that the time period? I'm just horrible at history.
I don't think so.
I can't remember. Keep going. Anyway. Wikipedia sucks.
Cuban Missile Crisis. I don't think it was the Cuban.
It was
that was 1962.
Yeah, it was something.
No, I think they were more aiming at like the end of World War II, like almost like as though World War II did not end the way that it did.
Yeah.
But so the whole idea of these nuclear weapons, and they had all kinds of stock test footage of bombs exploding everywhere and clouds playing backwards and weird things going on. But the problem is then they showed the cities and everything, and the buildings and everything are intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people are what are dead.
Are skeletons.
And they're skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they had this, and again, I don't know if it was actually a misconception in the day of what radiation can do or if it was actually just they did it for shock value for the movie, but these people, it was like the people had dehydrated based off of the radiation and everything. Yeah. And it's like a nuclear weapon is not going to just turn you into a skeleton. It's either going to explode you or it's going to give you horrible cancer that's going to kill you in a gruesome way that's not going to turn you into a skeleton.
Well, and how much time had passed?
It was a couple months.
Yeah, it wasn't.
If that, like, it was not a long time period. So it was not like everybody had just like decayed away. It was
so it seems like the idea was this nuclear blast flew by and ripped their skin off, and then they were left with bones. But the building,
that was
weird. Again, the buildings.
Yeah, the buildings are all intact.
The buildings,
and there were people that had turned into skeletons in their cars, and the windshields aren't broken. Like,
oh yeah, I mean it's definitely
like there was some setup of it that was like really come on.
It's definitely a 1951 perspective of, and you know, where did the blast happen? I mean, we don't know that.
Well, it was almost like they were it was making out that like it had been mutually assured destruction, that
everyone was nuked.
Like that every major city, everywhere was nuked.
I can't remember the article. There was that newspaper clipping that was talking about what happened, and I can't remember what it said. We should have screen capped that. Whatever, doesn't matter. So, yeah. And you know, the character stuff was it kind of drug out a little bit. It definitely took a little long to get to the end, and the ending was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't too, it was kind of like the cliche. Granted, it was 1951, so it wasn't really cliche at that point, but you know, the last two people on Earth kind of, you know, looking at the sunset at the end, you know, atop their house. I don't know.
Yeah, and no, I agree.
It didn't really go anywhere really special towards the end, and I don't know, I just kind of left wanting.
It almost reminded me as though, like, see, when was Omega Man? That was 50-something, wasn't it?
50.
We've even seen this one, and I can't remember. Okay. Omega Man was in 1971.
Oh, man, you're faster than me. Oh, yeah, 70s.
It's almost like a lot of these other movies, like Omega Man and I Am Legend and, like, these other Last Man on Earth type scenarios took what this attempted to do.
And
they narrowed it down to a more narrow scoped story, to where it's not five people, it's just one. Mm-hmm. That way you're not trying to have five different personalities.
Well, I mean, even still, I mean, in Omega Man, you have more than one survivor.
Yes, that's true. You do.
But you're not...
They are not main characters. Are not introduced at the very beginning.
You're not getting these people living together and struggling together. And I think... Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of these things where all these films that come after are obviously pulling from stuff before. I mean, whether anybody knew about Five when they were doing Omega Man is a different story.
I mean, that's only 20 years.
But I mean,
right?
Sure.
So if you figure 20 years, that would be like right now, what movies came out in 93? That would be something like, Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
That was mid-90s?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what year.
I'm just trying to think of some like big name movies that were the early 90s. Die Hard.
Was that?
That would have been early 90s.
I'm horrible with dates and movies.
I know, me too. So, but you know, think about the movies that came out in the 90s and then them making movies.
88, Die Hard.
Okay, so good example, right? 25 years. So if they made a movie now that had some of the concepts from Die Hard in it, which
at least
I'm
bigger.
Sure,
I mean, Die Hard was a bigger movie than I'm sure. I mean, I don't know what kind of success Five had.
I have
but
no idea.
All I know is it had a budget of $75,000.
I don't know what that means for back then. So, yeah, overall premise was okay. At first, I liked the idea that they had a pilot in it, and then the pilot turned out to be the biggest jackass and racist.
What country?
Jerk. I think he was from France.
Yeah, he seemed a little French, sort of.
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't have a quote. But anyway.
So yeah, and there wasn't really any music to speak of other than the beginning and ending clips. There were bits and pieces of just kind of that dramatic type of music mingled in, but it was definitely just more 50s background music. It was not a soundtrack per se.
That whole 50s violin type of.
How's that again?
You gotta do the hand motions too.
So anyway,
how it fits with?
Well, it fits about as good as you can into our category. Unfortunately,
you know, it's a post-apocalypse.
Well, I think what we need to go into movies like this taking away is that it's movies like these that may have been kind of the forebearers of the apocalyptic literature and film that we enjoy these days.
Well, exactly. Like,
so,
I mean, from this, you have stories like Omega Man and I Am Legend, and you know, all these
even
survivor.
Like the, The Postman, or I mean, these ones of like sole survivors after whatever apocalypse happens, you know, and how they deal with it and their struggles with other humans. The interesting thing is that these are not stories.
Even the Stand. I mean, even something like The Stand, too, where the population gets wiped out, and then you have these people trying to find other people.
These are not stories of man versus environment, right? Mm-hmm. These are stories of man's struggles against each other. And the fact that, and I think in some ways it's kind of depressing that it shows that, you know, everybody could be wiped off of the planet. There's five people left, and yet we still can't get over our hang-ups about petty things and just get along, because there's only five of us left.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but they killed the baby. The baby ends up dying in that thing.
Yeah, from we don't really know what. But
well, I think it's starvation. But
yeah, probably.
She ends. Roseanne ends up wandering back from very far away with her baby, and she ends up starving the baby. But anyway,
It
was kind of a sad. I mean, it was kind of a sad movie.
It was not a good movie. But I can see the roots that we take away now from it.
I mean, it's definitely great watching. It's great watching these films and being like, oh, you know, there's definitely like in 1951 there was sort of the basis for, you know, some of these other great 70s. Once you start seeing stuff
in the
70s,
the earliest like apocalyptic or dystopic movie was.
Go back in time to the time capsule of
earliest apocalypse movie.
I was trying to think. Let's see. Was there anything? Yeah. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and play our mid-break song. Well, it'd be a mid-episode song, not a mid-break song, because we don't break in the middle of the break to play a song. anyway, this is a song from the end of Evangelion, however you want to pronounce.
In Evangelion.
That's right. I forgot that pronunciation.
It's Evangelion.
Evangelion, which is our second movie. So this is a song. It's track number, I almost said episode number five. It's track number five called Substitute Invasion. From the end of Evangelion.
The soundtrack was so weird.
It was a very odd soundtrack. Keep in mind before we play this, keep in mind this is an anime, a Japanese anime. So take that for what it's worth where the music and content is concerned. We'll leave it at that for right now. So enjoy the song. We will be back shortly with Lost Pages and discussion of the end of Evangelion. Thank you.
Hi, this is Nicole Spag from The Final Score and TMS Recommendals, and you're listening to The Dystopic Boys on the Dystopic Radio Network. Try saying dystopic three times fast. Oh, shit.
Paper! Have you ever seen paper?
We would like to thank Nicole Spagnolo for the absolutely fantastic attempt to say dystopic voice.
Three times fast.
Three times fast. Yes.
Did you, what was her last name?
Spagnolo.
Is that how you say that?
Which, depending on if you're listening to Scott Johnson say it, then it's like Spagnoloho or...
Oh, yeah. They just play with it.
Yeah, he always plays with it as far as what it's supposed to be pronounced like.
Hey, Wendell.
Look, hey! It's the Lost Pages. Look, it's the Lost Pages.
And it's proper place.
Crap! all right. So, I have read absolutely nothing. Actually, that is the truth. Like, I have not read anything in the last month. I've just been too busy with stuff. So, but yeah. I did want to talk about something that I am planning. I'm going to put it on the iPad tonight.
What are your plans for the future?
So, because we are planning on watching... Wait, are we planning on watching World War Z?
That comes out June 2, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's late June. I think we were planning on watching that one and then talking about it for the July episode.
Oh, we could do that.
But anyway, I do plan on reading World War Z again by Max Brooks. That was a fantastic book the first time I read it years ago, and so I do want to go back and read it before I watch the movie this time. So I'm committing to do that, and I may kind of as I have time each week post up just kind of some thoughts and stuff on where I'm at in the book.
Hey, I know you're busy, but whatever happened to the Blackout book?
Yeah, I'm behind. A lot.
I enjoyed those. I would like to see those come back.
Okay, so here's the thing. What I need to do is, because I do find that I don't have a lot of time, I need to go in and I just need to create a bunch of them and then schedule them. Yeah, so that then they hit once a week.
Well, I mean, because you're just pulling them up and scanning them and then...
Yeah, I just scan them in. So I can just scan a bunch of them in. Yeah, that's what I need to do. I will do that.
Sweet.
All right.
And I... Oh, you know what? So the thing is,
did you read something with
my job? I'm gonna have a little downtime.
Oh,
so I'm gonna need to bring along, like
you.
Say,
okay, here's what we're gonna do.
What is okay? Hopefully, now this is a hopeful.
You
thing.
And I are going to book club style read World War Z.
World War Z?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a complicated read.
No.
It's not
complicated.
It's not super long.
I'm not like second grade reading.
But here's the thing. Like, there are certainly books out there. Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series comes to mind where there are like 18 main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, I think Robert Jordan said at one point he had like 900 named characters in the books.
Wow.
Like, it's to the point where you actually have to create outlines and things on, like, where is this person
and what is he currently involved in? Look up outlines that other people have
done. So this is not a book like that. This is not one where you have to try to keep track of what's going on like that.
And I mean, World War Z was definitely a book I've been wanting to read for a long
time. It is a fantastic book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I think you would like it.
And I love Max Brooks to begin with.
Okay, so then what we are going to do... Are we going to have a book club, Wendell? We are going to do a little book club.
Woo-hoo!
We are going to maybe a couple chapters a week. What we can do... Oh, of course. That's like 40 pages.
I'm not complaining about that.
So, what we're going to do is I will create a post, and with you type up your own thoughts on chapters 1 and 2. I will type up my own thoughts on chapters 1 and 2, and then at a set time, we will go on and we will just put them into one post, and we'll put them up. That way, we're kind of getting our two different perspectives on those chapters without having any discussion about it beforehand.
All right.
And then we can do a little bit of a kind of a Lost Pages segment on The Last Frequency each week and talk about that stuff further.
We'll do a little book clubbing.
Yeah.
I'm
excited. This is going to be fun.
Introducing World War Z book club style with Niles and Wendell.
Oh.
The Stupid Boys.
Okay. Anyway. So I really want to get back into at least reading some stuff and things like that. So maybe we will commit to trying. I'll take a look at it and see like how long the book is with how many chapters and things, and I'll try to break it up over the next maybe 2 months to or maybe 6 weeks to where we're getting it read.
Yeah, I mean, at least time it out for
Yeah, kind of try to time it out for when we are planning on talking about the movie.
Cool.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, other than that, like I said, have not really had much time, so I've not had a chance to read.
Yeah, I mean, at least this job is going to provide me a little downtime, so either I'm going to be catching up on some sleep or reading, hopefully.
There is, and it just crossed my mind a couple minutes ago, there is another comic series that I am not caught up on right now, but that I actually wanted to talk about.
I have one I needed to look up to.
On Lost Pages at some point. It's called Chew.
Yeah.
I think I've told you about it.
I've read Chew.
It's set...
Well, I haven't read all of
it. At first, I didn't think about it, but it's actually set in kind of a weird dystopian where the food and the
it
FDA...
It is.
It's set in a world where, like, you're not allowed to eat chicken.
I mean, it's a
weird dystopia, but it's still a dystopia. It's a controlled thing.
It's a the control on food, well, especially chicken, is
Yeah, exactly. So it just crossed my mind.
I have to catch up on it because
I know
my
I do too.
Has.
But
I read like the first two. But anyway.
So anyway. Yeah. So coming soon to a podcast near you, Chew and the World War Z Book Club. All right.
And
let's
everything else I need to read.
Move on to the most confusing movie we've ever seen and the weirdest.
We will talk about why it's so confusing.
So let's go ahead and.
The End of Evangeline. Nerve faces a brutal attack from Seal, but with Asuka in a coma and Shinji in a nervous breakdown, things soon turn into the surreal. This movie provides a concurrent ending to the final two episodes of the show Neon Genesis Evangelion.
All right.
So, no fault to Mark.
Or us. Well, I suppose it's our fault because we didn't watch it first.
We didn't watch it first, and we didn't make sure we were saying all these names correct. We basically said everything wrong.
Everything wrong. So let's see. We said Evangeline. It's actually...
Oh, my God.
I'm going to let you say it.
Evangelion. It's Evangelion.
That's right. It's not ja. It's a soft
G. Evangelion.
Evangelion. And we said Evangeline. It's
Seely.
Seely, not Seal.
Yeah.
It's...
Asuka.
Not Asuka.
Yeah.
I think there was one more in there, too, that we butchered. So anyway, our apologies to any hardcore fans of Neo Genesis, The End of Evangelion.
Galeon.
I have to think about it now because I'm so used to saying Evangelion.
So let's go through this. Director. So this thing was broken into two episodes. Episode 25, named Love is Destructive.
But wait, Niles. Why is the first part of the movie episode 25 and not episode 1?
Because this is the tail end of a Japanese anime TV show Genesis Evangelion.
But why would we watch something that's the finishing? That would be like watching Serenity before watching Firefly.
It has nothing to do with me and the fact that it was on my list, if that's what you're getting.
Yeah, at. Yeah. Why was it on your
list,
I have
no
Niles?
Idea why it was on my list. Maybe it sounded cool.
I think you just saw the words Evangelion and were like, ooh, that looks cool. I like that word.
I think I accidentally checked too many boxes.
You're just
whatever.
Like click happy.
And episode 26, one more final, I Need You. And so, director of episode 25
was... This music's ridiculous, by the way.
Kazuya Tsurumaki. And episode 26, Hideki Anno.
Our apologies to any one of Japanese descent that we are currently butchering your name.
And I'm just going to skip over to the music, who's done by Shiro Sagasu.
I have no idea. It just sounds funny, you attempting to figure it out.
Speaking of sounding funny,
this music is
Mark,
crazy.
And the Mark's little read-through. A surprise for Scott.
Oh, yes. A small clip at the end of the show. A little tidbit for our buddy Scott for his birthday.
So, basically, we got to the end of this this very surreal, very sort of spiritual-esque anime, and we pulled up the YouTube video that it kind of explained the story of it in 7 minutes. So you're probably gonna have to watch.
We'll put a link to this thing. And okay, I'm not gonna lie. Even after watching that 7 minute recap, I was confused. There were like 40 things going on in that 7 minute recap. How can we recap?
I don't know if we really can. But basically,
there's big giant robots.
there's
that people are inside of. They fight each other.
Well, there's two different. There was two different giant eggshell pods that came down to the earth, and one was this group, this alien group called the Angels, and the other one was this other group called, oh my god, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, humanity was split up, and if these forces joined together again, humanity would once again go into one entity.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Become one. So there was this whole.
It was the Angels and the.
I'm looking. Angels and the.
I don't think it was demons. Angels and the something.
Where is it at? Second Angels.
Ah! I don't know. Anyway.
So there was these two bodies that were called Lilith. Lilith was one of them, and Ray was the other one. And there's these. Oh, man. I can't even.
Yeah, okay. We give up on attempting to explain the whole mythology around this. Suffice it to say, there is actually a pretty deep mythology around all this. And there are wikis out there for this.
Yeah,
and
so, I mean, there's a YouTube video. Stuff. There's a YouTube video that we pulled up. It kind of explains it in 7 minutes. Watch it, and you'll be confused as we are right now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this was the last two episodes of the series. And, obviously, we... Is the series even on our list? I don't think so. Because
it's not a movie. Yeah, we don't have series on our list as far as the actual list goes.
For a reason.
Yeah, seriously.
So for one,
minus miniseries. I mean, like a miniseries like The Stand is one thing.
For one thing, we were watching this in its sub. What's the word? It's
it was dubbed. Yeah, it was dubbed. Well, because we don't speak Japanese.
Well, you know, and we didn't, and you know. We didn't want to do captions either.
I have done... Subtitles. I did a Japanese series one time.
Subtitles.
I watched a Japanese series that did not have dubs, and I watched it all subbed. Once you watch a couple episodes, it does start to get to where you don't think about the fact that you're reading it.
And see, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine with subtitles because you get the actual acting. So we were missing a lot of the actual voice acting that was being done. Instead, we got the corny... I'm forgetting the word again.
Voice actor?
Dubbed? Is it dubbed?
Yes, it's okay. Dubbed.
Going blank on words.
Niles does math or something.
It is hot in here.
I know, it is anyway, really hot in here.
So we're getting this sort of corny dubbed version, and there's a lot of whiny characters in this film, which it's probably whiny anyway. But anyway... watching this, I was really thinking about how it sort of fit into our category of stuff, and it's really hard for me to sort of define this in any particular way.
Well,
besides the fact that it's where these alien beings have come down and sort of taken over. And because watching the film, you don't really get the sense of who's in control and who's.
I think
because we're all it was very spiritual and it was very surreal, and you almost felt like you were in sort of this dream world the whole time, and it's not you didn't really get the sense of. I wasn't really grounded. The problem I had no ground to step.
Yeah.
Step
yeah,
on.
Exactly.
I was just up in the air the whole time, and you know, it's very hard to ground me.
Yeah, I can see the idea that this is in our list because, you know, it's this... This, I think, takes... And it just crossed my mind. But I think this... We're used to dystopias being alien or governmental or corporate, right?
Well, this is very kind
this
of alien.
This is more...
Right?
Well,
it's spiritual a little
bit. Exactly. It's a spiritual dystopia, right? Where, you know, you're being threatened by supernatural forces in a way. And it requires faith and all these other things. So in that sense, it's actually kind of an interesting take on it. I wish I understood any about what was going on. But it's hard for me to say whether I liked it or not because I'm just confused.
Truly.
It's difficult to do an analysis of something that you really don't understand anything about it. It was confusing. I would highly recommend that if somebody wants to watch this, watch the series first.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's one of these things where you really have to watch the series. It's what I was talking about earlier. It's basically, well, it's not as confusing, but I mean, it's like watching the movie Serenity and not have seen Firefly.
Yes,
not
exactly.
As confusing.
Not as confusing could, because it's because let's
I could make well, sense of Serenity.
The reason for that is that Western movie making tends to be less complex than it. Well, Western film tends to be less confusing than Eastern anime.
Well, I mean, this one definitely.
I mean, anime takes it to a whole new level.
Went on a whole another plane of, and I mean, at the end, you're really getting this sort of very. I went to Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts sort of dream world. You know, whether you know you're a part of this bigger spirit that's going on, or you're a part of, you know. So basically, at the end, Rey, I think that was our main kid. Shinji. That was Shinji, the wimpy kid. He's basically at the end, and you're like, is he dead? Is he alive? Is he? I'm just gonna stop.
So something interesting. I'm just on the IMDb page for this, and there's under the trivia. It goes, while advertised as a comprising of two episodes, it actually is three episodes. The first one being there only to keep the narrative intact for people who are only able to get a hold of this film. So they're saying that this film is supposed to be able to stand on its own. That is patently false.
Yeah, I mean, it really takes some serious research after the fact to even know what is what and who's who and what's this these two entities and their two souls and the it's just.
Well, and then there's
these
entities are weird, like blob shapes. Like Lilith is like a big blob of some sort, like blobby goo.
Well, yeah,
it's just, oh man,
yeah, it was. Lilith rejoining it was fun at moments. There was a couple of fun things, but you know, it's definitely not my favorite anime. It was definitely kind of praised as a big thing. I mean, in the anime world, it might be.
Yeah, that's true.
But granted, we did not see the whole TV show, so we're still kind of lost.
Maybe someday I will.
See, cause
or maybe not.
We got to this. The problem is, you almost start right in. And then
you start right in during a battle.
You get to this build at the end, and you're like, "What?" And if you started from the series, you would have had more build up. Yeah, you would get this. You would get the sense of where this build was coming from. So
yeah, agreed. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, it was entertaining to say. I mean, it was entertaining, but not.
Yeah, it was entertaining. Just.
Especially at the beginning.
Okay, so
your favorite part of the beginning.
Let's just say, you know, it's a Japanese anime when there's like a masturbating scene over somebody that's in a coma in a hospital bed.
And then
it's really weird.
The whole visual style of cutting to a doorknob for a long period of time.
Oh yeah.
Then cutting to this or watching the one character curled up just saying
for
these
like
words
3 minutes.
For like 3 minutes. Yeah, it was really kind of.
So let's see intense. If any of these clips actually matter.
There's a couple of interesting moments.
All right, so here are a couple of clips. We'll see if any of them actually matter. Hang on.
That one does not matter. Oh, that's the music.
No, I think. Okay, stopping the music.
What? I don't think this was anything.
I don't think that was. All right, never mind. All right.
So mankind, a race of flawed and incomplete separate entities, has reached the end of its evolutionary potential. The Instrumentality Project will manufacture the evolution of man's separate entities into a single consummate being.
Confused.
And the committee won't use Nerve or Atom. They'll use the Evas.
Still confused.
And the Evas were the...
Those were the big robot thingies.
The robot thingies that were...
Yeah.
And so, like she said, you have these two entities, and then they're guiding... spirit bodies, and if the spirit bodies joined with these entities, then you'd get the rejoining of
if somebody was listening
humanity.
To me right now, you would sound like you are smoking something.
Yeah, man. If you right. There's these two bodies and they join with the naked gal, and then
we still talking about the same thing.
Unity came all together, right. Man.
All right, and then the last clip. I have
let's
idea.
Throw another naked girl. In there
I have
too,
no idea what this clip is of.
grabbing.
The sacrament of death, God, humanity, and all living beings will be united and reborn as one.
So that's an example death. Of the dubbed. That's the example of the dubbed.
Yeah, but in a way, I'm sorry, but okay, one more time.
The sacrament of death, God, humanity, and all living.
Like, that is the single worst voice acting accent.
And all living things. It was like Russian.
Yeah, it was like a terrible English guy attempting to act out Russian. That was not good. But yeah, so amusing to say the least, though.
Yeah, we've just basically screwed this whole movie up by mispronouncing everything and not being able to explain it. So okay. You can tell how lost we are.
All right, I think it's time for...
to move on. Oh, yeah?
Oh, what time is it?
Have you been sitting there, like, prepping this?
No, I've been sitting here looking things up to ask you because I didn't prep anything beforehand.
Since the IMDb page trivia section.
Okay, you need to not have anything up on IMDb.
I have Wikipedia. Does that count?
Nah, close that.
I'll go to the show notes. How about that?
There you go, show notes.
Should I just shut this whole thing?
That's really
feel better? If I just shut this whole
thing? Sure, why not? You don't need it anymore.
Oh, I might. I'm just saying.
Okay. So, your first question coming from Five. The Frank Lloyd Wright designed house they stayed in was in what state? Washington?
Oh, I get choices.
Oregon, California.
I'm going to say California.
Or Nevada.
It's California.
You are.
Good news,
correct.
Everyone.
You just read that, didn't you?
No,
or do you actually remember that?
I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I remember California.
Wow. Okay. I'm impressed because I did not remember that.
I remember California.
At all. Okay. Oh, need a little more that volume. Okay. All right. Question number two from Neon Genesis, the end of Evangelion.
Neon Genesis.
This one you have a 50-50 shot of getting correct. There are two groups. Okay. In a fight, at the beginning, there is Nerve and there is Seeley. Which one attacks the other one?
The music.
Your choices are Seeley attacks Nerve or Nerve attacks Seeley.
I almost want to say Seeley attacks Nerve because Nerve is, but I'm going to say my instinct is saying Nerve attacks Seeley. Wait. Ah, damn it. Nerve.
What is your final answer?
Nerve attacks.
Nerve attacks Seeley.
Yes.
According to the IMDb page, Nerve faces a brutal attack from Seeley. You are incorrect, sir.
Dang.
I don't.
See you guys on the other side.
I don't really have a boo sound or anything, so that works.
Right.
Okay, there we go. All right, so Niles, you went 50-50 today. Congratulations.
Well,
nice work.
I had a streak of getting some right, so there you go.
Dang it. All right.
Second guess myself.
I think that means it's time. That's right. It's time to find out what we're going to be watching next time.
Yeah, seriously. So we're going to be watching This Is the End as our chosen stuff we want to watch list.
Yes, because that is coming out, and we want to watch things that are coming out because other people might watch them with us.
Yes.
Instead of things like this crap that we watched the last time, which we hope nobody subjects themselves to. Okay,
we don't have any voicemails or anything like that.
Not this time. So anybody out there that would like to email us or voicemail us?
Call us, for goodness sakes!
Okay, we've got 108 movies on our list of crap.
And we need to go back in there and make sure when you're
but for this time,
in.
Okay, right. 1 to 108. The result is number 15.
Oh.
All right.
Now, are these in alphabetical order?
No.
When they're numbered?
Well, right. I think they used to be.
Okay.
Number 15. Ooh! Cyborg. 1989 film.
Ooh.
Let's do a quick little IMDb search.
Cyborg, huh?
Hey, at least I can... Oh, no. Cyborg, known in the UK as Cyborg 009, is a 1989 American martial arts science fiction film.
Yeah.
Directed. Oh, it's a Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Ah! Yes.
Okay, the IMDb short thing is a martial artist hunts a killer in a plague-infested urban dump of the future.
Once I see the
That is a young-looking Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Once I see the cover.
Okay, just a couple little things.
Where's it at?
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Deborah Richter, Vincent Klein, Alex Daniels. Nobody else I've heard of.
But all you need to know about is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Gibson Rickenbacker is a hired fighter living in a plague-ravaged apocalyptic America where a plague is infested, blah, 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 blah. All right. Budget was $500,000. It grossed $10
million. Oh, wow. But it really made its buck.
It did.
I mean, granted, that's...
It was 20 times what they spent on it.
He encounters a woman named Pearl Prophet. Pearl reveals to Gibson that she is a cyborg who is carrying vital information for a group of scientists in Atlanta.
Spoiler alert. Come on, man. All right. I need to make a mark of that.
This is definitely going to be another interesting mix.
Yeah, agreed. All right. So, Cyborg and The Last of Us for episode 10.
The Last of Us. You mean...
Not The Last of Us.
This is the end.
This is the end. I'm getting mixed up with all of my end of the world literature
but
and movies.
Come one of these weeks on The Last Frequency, it will be just The Last of Us. I mean, I'm serious. It's just going
to
be
The Last of Us. Yeah, that's going to need to be like news for 5 minutes and then an hour of that was the coolest thing ever or I'm scared and need to change my
plans. I'm going to need to find somebody else can play it. I'll see if I even have time to play
well,
it.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'll try to maybe swing up your way and I'll watch it with you. That way I can at least... Because let's face it, realistically, I don't have a PS3 and I'm probably not going to get one. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't play this.
Would you be up for watching, though?
Yeah. I'd watch you play it.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
But does it drive you crazy when you watch other people playing a game and you're like, what are you doing? I'll watch my brother play games.
It depends. Okay, so not if the person knows how to play video games. If it's somebody that is not, like, if you're trying to teach somebody to play video games that never played video games before, and they're playing as Mario in Mario 64, and they're ignoring all of the coins and the arrows that point go that way, and they're, like, trying to run up an impossible-to-run-up hill, yes, that drives me crazy, because I'm like, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Renee. We forgot to put up on our on-air sign. Okay.
Sweet. Cyborg in 1989, and this is the end. The new film coming out June.
This is also the end of this issue, or this episode.
June. This is the end. When is
June
that
21st,
out?
I think.
21st.
Or 20th or 17th or something. Anyway.
I can't think anymore.
Well, hey, we want to thank everybody for listening. We'd like to thank you for sticking through this crapshoot of
scheduling.
Both our preparation scheduling as well as these not very good movies.
But that has nothing to do with us.
We would love to have your feedback on this episode and others of both The Dystopic Boys and The Last Frequency.
And we'd like to thank Mark, even though...
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Don't interrupt me. No, we want your feedback. If there's things you like, things you don't like, if you'd like to hear more about certain topics, things like that, when schedules start to allow for it, we would love to start kind of talking more topic-based stuff on another show as well.
Yeah, seriously.
Sometime. Feel free to send us an email, feedback@dystopicradio.com. You can email either of us, Niles or Wendell, @dystopicradio.com. We're on Twitter, @dystopicradio. You can find us on Facebook or iTunes, facebook.com/dystopicradio. You can give us a call, 206-414-9309. Leave us a voicemail that will get played on the show.
Woohoo!
We do want to thank Mark Howen for his excellent voice work and for somehow managing to not crack up laughing as he has to read these absolutely ridiculous synopsises.
yeah, seriously.
And as you'll hear shortly, his little rendition of... To make a long story short, a buddy of mine said after he listened to one of the episodes where Mark did the voice work, he said, I could listen to him read a shampoo bottle. So...
He did.
He did. And you're going to hear just a small clip.
I feel like we should just play a bit of him just trying to read some of these words. And
yes,
that's it.
And it's exactly what we're going to read. We're going to play a small clip of Mark reading a shampoo bottle.
A teaser.
But Mark powers through it. Like, he doesn't crack up a single time attempting to read these ridiculous words.
You can't hear us laughing. I was
dying in the background as we're trying not to laugh. Okay. So, but yeah, we want to thank Mark. You'll hear a little bit of that shortly. Niles?
If you ever find yourself in a world where there's two bodies of, you know what? I'm just confused as hell. I'm going to say, see you on the other side and keep your radios on.
And that was true to form. Hey, you guys be safe and we will see you on the other side.
See you guys on the other side.
Thank you.
Scott's shampoo ingredients, water, sodium lauryl sulfate, cocoa midopropyl betaine.
This broadcast has been brought to you by the Dystopic Radio Network and survivors like you.
Dimethicone, glycol desiderate.